Hey everybody, this is Jean Tien, and welcome to another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic, where we explore the intersectionality of authenticity and success. And today's episode, I wanted to talk about authenticity as it relates to cultural norms and how cultural norms have impacted myself and also just in general, how it can impact you in terms of finding your authenticity. And so I actually just got off of another recording earlier today where I had such an invigorating conversation. And I hope you guys tune into it. It's with Alex Awada, and she is the founder and owner of Mixed Asian Media. And so that conversation totally inspired me to record this one. And so here we are. Cultural norms are basically what we grow up with in terms of what our culture expects us to be. So that's like a very basic way of saying it, right? So I think it's not necessarily specific to a particular culture, or although there are culture specific norms, but I think every culture that exists out there has its own norms, has its own expectations of how individuals and us are supposed to behave, how we're supposed to think, how we're supposed to operate. And there is some truth in what it does, right? In the sense that it's out there to preserve certain lineages, to preserve certain traditions. It's out there to educate the newer generations, the younger generations, about our past, about, our ancestors and the things that they had gone through, that they had learned, that they had achieved. And there's absolutely benefit in the cultural norms that exist. But on the other side of it as well, there are absolutely restrictions that come with the cultural norms. There are impacts in our day-to-day that if we're not aware of, that it can certainly hinder our ability to move forward, our ability to adapt and to pursue something that may not have existed back when our ancestors existed, or that may contradict something that we were taught or that they were taught, right? And depending on how you look or define ancestry or ancestors, right? Because your parents or grandparents can be part of that definition, depending on how you define it. But our great, 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 great grandparents are also part of that definition. And they come from and they lived through a time that is absolutely not the same as now. And so if we were to carry over some of their lessons into here, some may apply. And then there are those that don't. And then there are those that don't. And then they also, are forced upon us, and then they are then influencing our decisions and not necessarily in a good way. And so an example of that, and you guys are probably like, what are you talking about? So I wanted to talk about this specific one, which is being an Asian American female. One of the things that I had grown up with is this expectation of Asian American females to be docile, to be submissive, to be quiet, to be agreeable, and that this, and in order to be obedient, we had to meet all three, right? That is what at least my parents expected me to be. It made their lives certainly a lot easier, and it certainly made other people's lives a lot easier as well, especially if we look at schools, the teachers, and other people of within an authoritative position, right? Managers, et cetera. It took me a really long time, I want to say at least 40 years of my life, to realize that this cultural impact, that this cultural norm created a lot of internal dialogue and tension and disappointment in myself. It created a lot of angst within me. It created a lot of failure within me. And when I say failure, it's this failure that I have been to comply with the cultural norms that I am expected to comply with. Because as an Asian American female, I am neither docile nor submissive, and I'm very much not quiet. Like, I will speak my mind. I'm not going to be, you know, I generally don't try to be obnoxious about it. I generally try to be considerate of it, you know, with my thoughts. And it's not with ill will, meaning like it's usually with good intention, because I have this thing, whether or not you like it, I don't know, but like I have this thing where injustice just fuels me. It's the reason why I became a lawyer, because injustice fuels my desire to create change, my desire to speak up, my desire to make things better. Like, that's what fuels a lot of what I do. It's this level of injustice that's out there. And so the problem with, well, it's not a problem, but the problem with being fueled by injustice is that you can't stay quiet, right? Because if you're going to stay quiet, then you are literally aiding and abetting the injustice that is occurring. It is so important at that point that, like, if you're looking to create and fix the injustice, that you have to speak up. And it took me a really, really long time to accept this part of me, because in the past, when I have spoken out against injustice, when I have spoken up and asked for what it is that I wanted, when I've spoken up against the wishes of my parents or the wishes of my teachers or the wishes of my managers, I've been penalized in some way or shape or form. And so speaking up created this fear within me that I wasn't safe, that it wasn't the right thing to do, and that I had to find the perfect words in order not to offend anybody. And all of it is a whole bunch of baloney. Like, I'd like to say a little bit harsher words, but I won't. But it is all a bunch of baloney. Because look, I'm not saying that you go out there and you curse everybody out. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that there is no perfect word, right? And that the perfect word are the words that you choose in order to express the dissatisfaction that you have, to express the desires that you have, to express a different point of view that you have. And none of it will be perfectly worded for everyone. That's not the objective of speaking up and out. The objective of speaking up and out is to communicate so that you achieve your desired outcome. And that act of communication and that act of speaking up and out can be very uncomfortable for those who are very much stuck within the cultural norms, who are very much afraid of stepping outside of it. And so this is an aspect of being an Asian American female that I think that I would love to see more people become comfortable with. And it's not easy, but it doesn't have to be big in that sense, right? In the sense that, like, I think sometimes we tend to confuse this concept of impact with grandness and grandness of gestures, like going out on stage or going out in public or, you know, being in the media and, you know, just protesting or speaking our truth or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be at that level. And not every one of us is cut out for that level, to be honest, right? Instead, it's about the day-to-day things that we choose within our life. So for example, I recently, it's not that recent, but I will say like about a year ago, I was coming off of a conference call with someone very senior. It was a C-suite executive and also my manager. And we were having this dialogue. And during the dialogue, the C-suite executive was clearly misinformed about some of the information that he was basing his decision off of, right? And I've seen this thing happen before. at other firms, other C-suite executives, other individuals, where they don't always necessarily have the right information. They weren't provided it, or they may have missed it, or whatever the case is. And so as I was seeing this conversation go down a path where I think it would have benefited, you know, for me to come in and provide a different point of view, I did. I started to politely and professionally share, and I want to emphasize that it was polite and professional, because I do not encourage everyone or anyone to be rude or disrespectful when you are speaking your truth that is of a different opinion than other people. Like, it's not necessary, and it actually is not an effective way to communicate, right? So in this instance, I stepped in to provide other facts that I think were material that would have influenced the C-suite executive's decision and analysis. And it didn't work, which is fine. Like, I tried it a couple of times, a couple of different ways. And at the end of the conversation, the C-suite executive still maintained his stance, and that's okay. My job is to present the information. But his job was to give advice and to have the decision. And if that was the way he thought about it, that's okay, right? Because that wasn't all, to me, it wasn't the end of the conversation either, because there were other ways to be able to communicate with the person to get to the right decision and whatever that decision was. At the end of that conversation, my manager called me up and he's like, oh, I just want to, you know, like, share with you some feedback on the conversation. I was like, great, I love it. How could I improve? And my manager basically said that he warned me I shouldn't challenge senior executives because it could be very damaging to my to my career, and that, you know, my job could be on the line. And that was his experience. And so he was sharing a lesson with goodwill and intentions about something that he had picked up from his experience, right? This is what we mean by a limiting belief from somebody else. This was not my story. In fact, my career, the reason that I've done so well in my career was because I have decided at one point to never put myself in that position where I don't speak up. And because I've always found a way to speak up and to present differing points of view, and I never feared having a dialogue with differing points of view with C-suite executives, it's always helped me to stand out. And so when he said that, I was caught totally off guard. I was so surprised. And I actually said, thank you so much. I really appreciate your concern and your interest in my career. And I wanted just to take this opportunity to say that I wasn't challenging the C-suite executive. We were having a dialogue, and I was presenting some additional information that I think the C-suite executive was missing in his analysis that I think could have been material to his decision and to the fact pattern and to the analysis that he was doing. At the end of the conversation with the manager, we both agreed to disagree because he disagreed with it. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. But it took me at least 40 years to get comfortable with actually, number one, disagreeing with authority, disagreeing with my manager, and speaking up to provide a differing point of view. It took a lot of work on my side because I had to break through the cultural norms that said I needed to be quiet and submissive and agreeable, and I needed to, you know, just be a yes person. My entire upbringing was that way. Because if I wasn't, then I would get in trouble and it would hurt. And it took a lot for me to stop internalizing and withholding my opinions, my desires, my disapproval, my disagreement with others. And there is absolutely, and the conversation, you know, I have to say, they're absolutely, it was the manager and the C-suite executive are white men, right? Right, white males. And I would very much be surprised if there weren't any microaggressions or subconscious biases against me because I am Asian American female. And I work in an institution where Asian American or Asian women are the ones to kowtow, are the ones to bow to the senior men. And we don't disagree. We just do as we're asked. Very much the culture within the firm. And so it requires strength. But the strength doesn't come from outside of us. It comes from knowing our value. It comes from knowing that we're safe to share this information, to share and communicate in these instances, and that we don't have to comply with cultural norms that don't feel right to us anymore. Because when we allow other people's expectations of us determine our behavior, then we're no better off than just existing. And we weren't put on this earth to just comply and be agreeable and to say yes when we really mean no, and to say no when we really mean yes, because, oh, it's not, you know, humble to say this, or it's not humble to agree to that, or whatever the case is. When we allow for other people's expectations and to impact who we are, to restrict us from being who we are, then we are no longer being who we are. Does that make sense? We're no longer true to ourselves. And our power is handed to each one of these individuals and to cultural norms that are telling us we need to be a certain way, because we're saying that we don't know ourselves enough to be our way, and that we're not strong or confident enough that our way is a good way. Look, our way will not be perfect each and every time. Your way, my way, whatever, will not be the right way every single time. And that's okay. But it's in the belief that we are of value and that we are contributory to the environment that we're in. Heck, we're more than contributory. We're the creators of the environment that we're in. That this is so important for us to be able to take it all back from everybody else and say, no, we're going to do what we think is right, as long as we're doing it with integrity and we're professionally and with respect. We're going to do what we think is right. And we're going to speak up and we're going to speak out, and we're not going to allow others to dictate who we need to be in order to make their lives easier. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about, right? If you don't challenge authority, then it's easy for authority to continue to operate as is. But we are in a place in this world where operating as is just isn't good enough anymore. Operating as is, that's status quo I don't want to live in. That's the status quo I choose not to create anymore. And you have that ability to choose something different. You have that ability to create something different. You have that ability to step outside of cultural norms and figure out what it is that works for you, not what it is that you need to do in order to fit into some box that somebody else had created for you. And so as Asian American women, there is this like misconception out there. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I think of it as, my friend had shown it to me a long time ago. It's called like Angry Little Asian Girl, where we get all upset and emotional because whatever, and something just triggers us. Well, maybe something just triggers us because we are so full of holding in everything that is wrong because, but we can't say something, right? We can't do something that the littlest thing will just trigger us. And so, yeah, maybe that's why we become the angry little Asian girl. So maybe the way to not be that angry little Asian girl is to start to release the stuff that we're holding in and making different choices as we do it. So the next time somebody says to you, hey, you shouldn't challenge authority, you can thank them for their feedback, and then you can provide a different point of view. Thank you so much. I wasn't trying to challenge authority. I'm looking to share a different perspective. My perspective is important as well, as I think it could lead to this, and that's the benefit, whatever, however you want to say it, it's up to you. I don't dictate that. But I do ask that we all start to get comfortable with the uncomfortableness of choosing something different. And yeah, it will trigger others. Absolutely. But that's on them to figure it out. That's not on us to help them figure it out. What is on us to help us figure it out is where our value is, where our priorities are, what the, where we want to see ourselves in 10 years and take the action steps that we need to get there. And we're not going to get there by staying quiet and being docile and being submissive and being, agreeable if that's not part of the purpose that you're looking to serve. We have all beat ourselves up because we are trying to comply with these cultural norms from like thousands of years ago when the emperor had concubines, that's the word. But we are not there anymore. For most of us who are Asian American or Asian whatever, we live in a society where we are so lucky to be able to speak out and to do something to address the injustices out there. I am so lucky to have this platform to share with you all my thoughts, my beliefs, and to share with you the guests that have had similar experiences where they also have been, inspired to take action, to make change, right? To look at life in a different way. And we only have this one opportunity, which is our lifetime, to create something different so we can leave a different legacy behind, so that we can create a different path forward for the younger generations where they don't have to feel guilty or broken because they don't fit some cultural norm, because they speak up and out, because they don't fit the model minority, because they don't, they aren't good at math, because they are loud and opinionated and they're not afraid to share it. And so I think for the rest of this season, I will be exploring more of the cultural norms that define us or that has defined us that I have struggled with, and kind of how I've used that to break through into finding my authentic voice. And so I hope you'll join me along this journey, and I'd love to hear from you. What cultural norms have you broken through that have been the key to achieving your success? And also, what is it that you're working through today? See you next time. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Bye, everybody.